and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
To the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello, I am ready to be social.
And media.
And yes. Newsy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, something.
We have some social media news things.
Okay.
For you.
That's the name of the podcast.
Perfect, okay. Perfect. Excellent. We're on the right track. This first story is about the social media giant Facebook, and it's, I don't know, you know how Facebook just fills your feed with ads and people trying to sell you things and people who seem more influential than they might be. And sometimes the reason someone on Facebook or a company or some sort of organization might seem so popular and seem so, I don't know, influential and important is because they have a bunch of likes and followers. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty sure we all kind of know this by now, but some of those likes and followers could be fake. I know.
Clutching my pearls.
Big shock.
I'm not wearing pearls.
That would be a very fancy podcast.
Yeah.
The big, I don't know, bosses of influencer marketing, or however you want to say that, fake followers, all of those on the social platforms are really coming under a lot of pressure, mostly because people like Facebook are coming under a lot of pressure to verify just audience numbers and to ensure that the engagement metrics and all of those things, audience counts and whatever, everything that is displayed are reflective of actual real people, not just like bots.
Yeah.
Which is kind of also, I don't know, I never would have thought, I'm not nefarious, I never would have thought to consider and make this kind of market of robots that like your stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know, it just seems so strange. The future is now.
Yeah.
But people like Facebook and probably also their other company they own, Instagram, and other social media sites are really coming under pressure to prove that these people are real. However, that is actually bad news, not for us, because we want Facebook to have transparency, but bad news for the fake sellers. So there is a recent precedent-setting case. New York Attorney General ruled that selling fake social media followers and likes is essentially illegal, and that is in relation to the specific actions of a company called Duvumi, which has since gone out of operation. Facebook has announced that it's taking legal action against several providers, which it's found to be dealing in fake social media engagement. So putting all this pressure on Facebook seems to be doing a good thing, because it is, you know, the law is cracking down on all of these fake follower people, these fake bots.
Fake follower bots.
I should say that. They're not people, they're bots, because we're exclusive. So Facebook has said, today, Facebook and Instagram filed a lawsuit in U.S. federal court against four companies and three people based in the People's Republic of China for promoting the sale of fake accounts, likes, and followers. They did this on both Facebook and Instagram, as well as other online service providers, including Amazon, Apple, Google, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We're also enforcing our rights under U.S. intellectual property law for their illegal use of our trademarks and brand. So this is really a significant undertaking. The fact that Facebook's not just banning these providers from their platform, they're actually seeking legal recourse. That's really an elevation of previous action, and it could reflect a significance in the aforementioned case. So I feel like because of the case that has come out and a lot of, you know, people and the public really putting pressure on this. It's put a lot of pressure on Facebook, which, again, is good. But that also means that the case by the New York Attorney General does seem to be really strong, or at least has a really big influence. So I don't know. I guess that's really interesting. I guess, you know, I really can't help thinking about like fake followers and bots in regards to politics.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there are a lot of our politicians that have social media accounts and just have so many followers, and a lot of them are actually fake. Not to name names, but...
But the internet really kind of rules our lives anymore. I mean, so, you know, you've got to have the likes, you've got to have the followers. And then that that leads to having fake likes and fake followers, which then leads to public outcry on the internet about these fake followers, which leads then to the social media companies like Facebook to do. I mean, we're really just kind of run by the internet.
Yeah, that's really true. That's really true.
I don't know if maybe the apocalypse is going to come via the internet.
Probably, to be honest.
It's not going to be a plague. It's not going to be a virus.
Oh,
it's
no.
The internet.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And also just the bigger presence, I guess, of the company or person or organization that is on Facebook that has these fake followers, that just brings more attention to the need for regulation. And I think also if you're like a celebrity, you're going to have more people fake following you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's interesting. Also, it's really not hard to find like a way to buy followers. You can just search buy followers on Google. Like it's really not hard. There are lots of companies that will do that, that will sell fake followers and fake likes.
Yeah,
there are lots of working bots out there. They have a lot of jobs.
Poor hardworking bots.
I know. Really.
They need a union.
Terrible working conditions. Facebook says that by filing this lawsuit, they are hoping to reinforce that such activity will not be tolerated. And they're also, this really, again, just points to further action. So they're really saying that the bots will not be tolerated. And it looks like that could be a good precedent for the future. Also, the lawsuit specifically asks the court to prevent these like people and entities and whatnot from creating and promoting the sale of fake accounts, likes, and followers on Facebook and Instagram. Also, on infringing on Facebook's trademarks on their website. So, like, if you just search followers or whatever, or fake likes or buy followers, a lot of times the websites seem to be using... Facebook's name to sell these things and whatnot, and infringing on Facebook's trademark. Also, they can be, also the lawsuit specifically prevents these companies from using Facebook branded domain names to operate their websites. I guess it's called cyber squatting, which is interesting. And this all comes amid increased on-platform action against fake sellers from Instagram and Twitter, with Twitter actually seeking to redefine its performance metrics in light of its push to remove fake profiles. Also, Twitter is removing fakes at such a rate that its monthly active user counts are going down, which is a good thing, but it looks bad on a basics metric standpoint. You know,
right.
It looks like there are a bunch of Twitter users who are leaving, but it's actually fake users being kicked out.
Jeez. this is all much more complicated than you would think.
I know. Yeah, it's weird, especially if someone like tracks the history of Twitter. They're like, oh, why was this big dip in users?
Right.
It's like,
100 years from now, somebody will be writing a paper on Twitter and
I'm sure. I mean, people probably already are, but
yeah, it's gonna be somebody's thesis.
Oh, definitely. Also, depending on how this case proceeds, it could be a major shift in the battle against fake sellers, and that would be very bad news for those involved in what's become its own side industry. It's a big business, which is strange and kind of sad, but again, if the lawsuit goes through, that will really make a big impact. I mean, I'm sure that people who sell fake followers and fake likes will find some other way to try and work around it.
I'm sure there's a million other ways, but at least is trying to make an impact.
Right. I feel like it might make a dent for now, and then we might see a dip in that type of activity, but then it'll probably, you know, come back up again.
An upswing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of sad. But I don't know. Interesting to see. I am curious just how the lawsuit goes, and also curious if... You know, I guess if Facebook keeps trying to condemn these type of actions and potentially pursues other like lawsuits or the things like that, and that they just keep fighting the battle. I feel like the public will put pressure to do so. But I don't know. Good for you, Facebook, for finally taking a stand legally and not just kicking users off. Way to go. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some social media news stories. This next one is about another giant in the tech world and extremely influential in social media and all those platforms. This is about Amazon. So Amazon is really an online presence, mostly because we buy all their things online, do streaming, Amazon Music, etc. But they have had some brick-and-mortar stores and some pop-up stores that came in the U.S., apparently, Amazon will be closing all 87 of its pop-up stores in the U.S. beginning in April. I guess they have a lot of pop-up locations that I wasn't really aware of, but they have pop-ups inside Whole Foods locations, Kohl's stores, and malls around the U.S. The shops let customers try Amazon products like Fire tablets, Kindle e-readers, you know, like Echo speakers, and other Amazon services like Prime Video, Audible, and Kindle Unlimited. Honestly, though, if they had stores in malls, I am not surprised that they are shutting down.
Well,
like every other mall in America.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense to so you could actually try out the products. But, you know, when I first heard about brick and mortar stores, and I didn't know as much about the pop-up locations, but when I first heard about the brick and mortar stores, I kind of rolled my eyes.
Oh, yeah, like Amazon just going back to stores like it's something new.
Right. We've put all these brick and mortars out of business, and now we're going to be like, this is something we've made up.
Yeah, that's the classic monopoly, you know. Well, there's a term for it, but I can't remember it. But it's like buying out your competition and then sort of potentially replacing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is, I mean, one day people will be like, wow, books, real books. That's incredible. I just feel like it'll, everything kind of has its strange comeback.
Yeah.
But this is a statement from Amazon. They said, across our Amazon network, we regularly evaluate our businesses to ensure we're making thoughtful decisions around how we can best serve our customers. After much review, we came to the decision to discontinue our pop-up kiosk program and are instead expanding Amazon Books and Amazon 4-Star, where we provide a more comprehensive customer experience and broader selection. So they're not closing all of their brick and mortars. For the first time for me, I have recently seen the Amazon bookstore.
Oh, did you? Where was that?
I saw that in Walnut Creek. So it wasn't around where we, it's kind of around where we live.
Right, but a ways away.
Yeah, a ways away. I mean, it's very like sort of posh shopping center. But it was really interesting. They sell some of their best selling books, and I would assume that's the same as like, I mean, Amazon 4-Star, that seems sort of self-explanatory, but at those stores they let customers browse and try products that are sold on the website that have a customer rating of 4 stars or better. So that makes sense. I mean, I do like the idea of Amazon being like, oh, try this product out, you know, hold it in your hand, look at it before you buy it. And I feel like also that would reduce some of their like delivery costs and like return shipping costs and all that.
Yeah.
So potentially good. But the company did say that it would open more 4-star locations and Amazon bookstores, just not the pop-ups. And I really hadn't seen the pop-ups. So I guess it's not a surprise that they're going out because I, you know, hadn't seen them any. And there were only 87, which is not that many.
Not that many for across the country.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I actually like the idea of the Amazon bookstore as well. I do like bookstores in general. So
me too.
I think that'll be interesting. It's really not a surprise.
What, that I like bookstores?
Yes, not at all.
Yeah, I've been typecast.
Yeah. Also, the company is planning to open dozens of new grocery stores across the country. The first is expected in Los Angeles sometime this year. And that's interesting. I guess I thought they were just going to partner with Whole Foods and just kind of be a Whole Foods, but an Amazon store. I don't know. I'll be interested to see that. I wonder if then that means I can just, I guess I would just be able to use my Prime account, which will become my everything. That'll be like my wallet.
Yeah.
Because I already buy so much off of Amazon. It's kind of insane. Also, who doesn't have Prime now? I don't know. Who has Amazon but no Prime?
There's still people out there.
That's crazy. I mean, people out there who are not piggybacking off of a family member who has Prime.
Well, maybe.
My mom just uses my Prime. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So the closures, they will not be affecting the cashierless Amazon Go stores. Amazon has considered opening as many as 3,000 Amazon Go locations by 2021. So Amazon really just has so many things. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah.
Like they have the Amazon 4-star stores. They have the Amazon Books, the Amazon Go stores, plus the whole Amazon thing. Like, yeah. Like, that's not a monopoly. I don't know. So that's kind of crazy. They're going to rule our lives.
Yep.
For sure.
I hope they're benevolent overlords.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully. They'll just make us, like, I don't know, put in our Prime account to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to our next story. This is about a woman in Japan who has been crowned the world's oldest person by the Guinness Book of World Records.
It's so often Japanese people who are the oldest people in the world. It's
really interesting. Is. And I saw this pop up on my social media news feeds, I believe on Facebook. But it was interesting. Also, you're right. So many people in Japan are like the oldest people. But I don't know. It's interesting. So the woman, Kane Tanaka, usually on her every day, she wakes up at 6 a.m. Hmm. She likes to study math and other subjects for fun and competes firstly in the board game Othello. You know, I guess it catches my attention when someone wakes up so early every day when they don't have to.
and then studies math for fun.
That's like so many things I don't like. Or the things that I don't like are what's like, what would keep me alive.
All right, I was just going to say, I'm going to die young. Because I do not wake up at 6 a.m. to study math.
No, not at all. Not at all. Oh, man. Good for her, though. This life daily schedule has been proven a good combination for her because she's 116 years old. She lives in Japan in Fukuoka, and she was named the world's oldest living person by the Guinness Book of World Records. She was recognized at a ceremony.
Is there a category for oldest dead person?
There is.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's not the oldest. Well, she's not dead, but there is a person who is older than her who is the oldest dead person.
Which I'm so confused.
Yeah, interesting. I guess like the person who's lived the longest, perhaps?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the recorded person who, like they lived to 118 or something, but then, okay, they're no longer living. All right, that makes more sense. Because I'm like, there's a lot of people that have been dead for a really long time. How do we just... All right, I understand.
Like when they pass and you just keep counting the years.
I'm tired.
It's okay. Me too.
I woke up at 6 to study math and now I'm tired.
And we're not even 116 yet.
No.
The system's not working. at the ceremony where Kane was recognized, it was at her nursing home. She was given a commemorative frame certificate and a box of chocolates, which apparently she started eating immediately.
Good for her.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Who cares? You're 116.
You don't know how long you've got. Eat the chocolate.
I know. When asked by the Guinness World Records people, I guess, they asked her how many of those chocolates she planned to eat, and she said 100.
How big was the box? My goodness.
I don't know. I mean, she should have said 116.
Well, yeah.
At that point, do you even really know how old you are anymore? I don't know. I'd be like, I don't even really remember now. Sometimes people ask, I'm like, I think I know. I mean, I have a while to go, so that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Tanaka is the youngest, or I don't know, she was the youngest of 7 children, to Kamachiki and Kuma Ota. She was born prematurely on January 2nd, 1903. Theodore Roosevelt was president of the United States, and World War One was still a full decade away.
Jeez.
I know. She's seen so much in her life. That is insane. She married Hide Tanaka at 19 before they had ever met, which was following a Japanese norm at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple went on to have 4 children, and they also adopted a 5th.
And the sad thing, I don't mean to be morbid, but I wonder how many of those children are still living. I mean, how many children and grandchildren has she outlived?
I know. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad. I don't want to be 116, which is good, because I'm not going to wake up at 6 and do math. So I'm probably, I'll be good. But yeah, no, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I guess she lives in a nursing home, so hopefully it's a good nursing home where she has sociability.
Yeah. You know? I mean, she seems to be doing well. I remember when my grandmother turned 90, it was either 90 or 91, and she just kept saying, I never expected to live this long. And I'm like, I'm glad you did, Grandma. But, she seemed surprised by it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I would be surprised. Also, Hideo Tanaka operated a family business. They produced sticky rice and udon noodles. Kane Tanaka took a greater role in the business after Hideo began military service in 1937 during the Second Sino-Japanese War. So, man, she's also seen a lot of war.
Well, yeah.
Their eldest son served in World War II and was held captive by the Soviet Union before returning to Japan. Kane Tanaka now resides in Funaoka, which is located in the southwest portion of Japan. And she has overcome several operations, including one for cataracts and another for colorectal cancer. That is all according to Guinness. So she has survived so much.
Yeah.
To become the oldest person ever recorded, she would need to live another 6 years to surpass the record, which is held by Jean-Louis Clement of France for the past 22 years. Clement was born February 21st, 1875, died at the age of 122 years and 164 days.
Wow.
She passed away 1997. So she was not the oldest person alive, but she was the oldest person recorded,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
122 years.
And a half. 122 and a half, because 164 days is right around 6 months.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I can't imagine.
I can't either.
Also, I wonder, this is the other thing I wonder about living that long. Like, what was her state when she passed? Like, a lot of the people who live really long, I mean, obviously are pretty, what's the word, like, with it.
Right.
You know, for a very long time. So, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, that's old. I don't know what else to say besides that's old. And a lot can go wrong with your body.
I know. But congratulations to Kane Tanaka. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some social media news stories. This next one really caught my attention on social media. This is about a princess, specifically Princess Latifah, who tried to flee Dubai, and she left a video to prove it.
Tried.
This is... Strap in. This is an interesting one.
Okay.
So in the video, at the very beginning... she says, "My name is Latifah bint Al Maktoum. My father is the leader of Dubai, and I'm making this video because it could be the last one I make. Pretty soon, I'm going to be leaving, somehow." Which is really not the sort of princess tale you might expect. Later in the video, Latifah gives a final warning. She says, "If you are watching this, it's not such a good thing. Either I'm dead or I'm in a very, very, very bad situation." Just to set the stage.
Yeah, sounds like the beginning of a book or a movie.
Yes, yes. The video is uploaded to YouTube in March last year. Latifah, who is 33, is known for her love of skydiving above Dubai, which, as we all know, is kind of like the modern state of the United Arab Emirates. Not kind of like. It is. It is the like in the UAE Federation, and it is a close ally of the U.S., and I don't know. I feel like the U.S. definitely has a relationship because it's like an ally in the Persian Gulf, and it's in an important geographical location. And Dubai is really sort of glitzy and modern, but it's an interesting place. Also, like the princess, many who criticize or otherwise run afoul of the regime of Dubai for, and many other countries in the Middle East, they have kind of been found to vanish. Especially in places like Bahrain, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and also, of course, the UAE. What we do generally know of Latifah's story is that she fled across the border to Oman with the help of a friend before boarding a boat. And this is to meet the French national, how would I say his name?
Hervé Joubert.
Thank you. Joubert. That is way more French than what I said. And Joubert, he did manage to successfully escape the Emirates himself back in 2010. He was being held there and he escaped. And Latifah read about his story and read his book. And so she contacted him to help her. The boat that she escaped to with Joubert set sail for the Indian coast, but was intercepted by three Indian and two Emirati warships. Mr. Joubert claimed that he and his crew were beaten by commandos before Latifah was whisked away. A legal case about this is pending. Her story has been corroborated by witnesses and friends, as well as lawyers acting on her behalf. Also, the UN and rights groups such as Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have backed her account. And she also, again, left video about it.
Yeah, how'd the video get out?
I mean, she posted it herself, and then I'm sure, you know, once something's out there, people can save it and keep it.
Right.
So I think that's kind of just what happened. Obviously, you know, if the government had caught it, they probably wouldn't leave it on there, just knowingly. Also, Latifah is the second of Sheikh Maktoum's daughters to disappear. Her older sister, Shamsa, who's 37, was reportedly seized on the streets of Cambridge, England, after fleeing the Dubai royal family's British estate in Surrey in 2000. In the video that Latifah posted, she said that her sister was drugged and smuggled back into Dubai by security officers working for her father. She also said that Shamsa has not been, Shamsa has not been seen or heard from in public since. And Latifah said that Shamsa is really just in a constantly drugged state and is sedated. And so, again, she expressed a lot of concern about this in her video and said that she didn't want to end up like her sister.
Wow.
Yeah. So the YouTube video was intended to be sort of like Latifah's insurance policy. And also, Latifah was ultimately hoping to obtain political asylum in the U.S. Of course, she didn't make it there. And interestingly, on Christmas Eve, after they had intercepted Latifah and brought her back to Dubai, the UAE's foreign ministry released pictures that it claimed rebutted false allegations and proved that she was at home with her family. The photos showed her at like a dinner with her family. And I believe with a figure from Ireland, I want to say, who has been a known human rights activist. And they said this really proved that Latifah was fine. She's with her family and she was happy, and that it was really sort of a family matter now. Latifah's friends, though, they say the photos confirm their worst fears, and that Latifah, like her sister, has been drugged and is really being held against her will. They say that in the photos, it proves that she doesn't look like herself. She's not behaving like herself. And they claim that it's clearly against her will. Unfortunately, that's kind of all we know right now. But I do know a documentary is coming out about Shamsa's abduction. And so that will, I'm sure, put more pressure on the royal family. Latifah's also said that being particularly a woman in the country, she doesn't have any freedom. Mm-hmm. And that she really wants to leave, obviously. But it does not seem that she will be allowed to do so. So, interesting story. I highly suggest, if you're interested, to look it up. And I will be anticipating the documentary. I'm very interested to watch. So, I don't know. Unfortunately, that's kind of a sad end to our episode. But
it is.
I know, sadly. Yeah. I really want to know more of what happens.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I wonder if we'll ever know fully.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
The documentary will be interesting, though, because it's like a similar case to what has happened to both of them. But thank you so much for listening. That brings us to the end of the episode. And please tune in to the next GSMC Social Media News podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.